charming lot.
Welcome back, my darlings, to the Charmed Pot. This episode, and well, all episodes really, are sponsored by Shellhawk's Creations, Halloween ceramics, and other needful things. I've been slaving away in my studio to bring you some brand new goodies, which I've never offered before. While the shop looks a bit thin right now, be sure to keep an eye out for more wondrous creations for this year's Halloween season's offerings, which I'll be posting soon. There will be new functional and decorative Halloween-themed goodies, as well as my much-coveted hand-carved jack-o'-lanterns. So write this down, etsy.com/shop/shellhawkscreations. Bookmark it for the near future. So here we are in my dark little parlor. This week, I've added another memento mori to my ever-increasing collection. Another great man has taken his place among the sepia-toned photos of Vincent Price, Boris Karloff, Alfred Hitchcock, and Ray Bradbury. He's a man who is a prolific writer, a man Time magazine dubbed the Wizard of What If. The new picture in my parlor is that of Richard Matheson, who passed away on June 23rd at the age of 87. Some of you may know his work, but not his name. In our crowd, he's perhaps most famous for his stories I Am Legend and The Legend of Hell House. He's not only known for Nightmare at 20,000 Feet and Prey, but also for Somewhere in Time and What Dreams May Come. Richard Burton Matheson was born in Allendale, New Jersey, to Norwegian parents, Francis and Bertolf. His dad was part of the Norwegian Merchant Marines and later became a tile installer. He also owned not just one, but three speakeasies during Prohibition in order to keep the family financially afloat. Matheson's mother was what is now known as a domestic engineer. That's housewife to the uninitiated. Young Matheson had a burning curiosity about creativity. As a child, he drew cartoons about a Tarzan-like character, filling little books with his sketches. A little later on, his mother taught him to play piano. Unsurprisingly, he was a voracious reader. I guess that's something of a requirement for writers, right? Matheson even pointed out in an interview that he didn't know of any writer who didn't devour books as a kid. His burn to read stories soon became a child's burn to write stories. At first, they were a young writer's stories, such as the one he wrote about a kid who was picked on by a bully, befriended a bird, and the bird went and pecked the bully on the head to teach him a lesson. And even though he was writing fiction, poetry, and music, he was accepted into Brooklyn's Technical High School, where he took structural engineering of all things. He admitted that at the time, he did pretty much what people told him to do and hadn't really thought about writing as a career. Even so, he wrote his first novel when he was 16 years old. Now remember that Matheson grew up in the golden era of radio. His mother was a very strict woman who didn't want her son listening to anything as awful as The Witch's Tale, a radio show that ran from 1931 to 1938. It was a show that dramatized anything supernatural and had a loyal following for its entire run. She would let him listen to a fairy tale program on Saturday mornings called Let's Pretend. Instead, she would let him listen to a fairy tale program on Saturday mornings called Let's Pretend. He fondly recalled that the stories from Let's Pretend were sometimes far more lurid than those of The Witch's Tale. He thought listening to the portrayal of the tale of Bluebeard, with a horrible man's previous wives swinging from meat hooks and moaning, was far worse than anything he had ever heard, and certainly worse than anything a witch's tale could dish out. He received his degree in journalism from the University of Missouri. Just after graduation, he met someone who was to have an influence on his career direction, an editor of Esquire magazine, Donald Berwick, who gave him his first crack at writing professionally. After that, his luck began to change for the better. It was called Born of Man and Woman, and it was about a couple who had a monster for a baby and was told by the monster in a child's voice. He handled the voice of the child so skillfully, it built empathy between the child and the reader. An agent contacted him because of that story, and an editor, after reading that tale, thought it had been written by a professional writer of many years of experience. He was stunned to find out that it wasn't a known writer experimenting with a concept, but a 23-year-old kid who wrote his first publishable story. It became a staple in the genre and has been in numerous anthologies. Matheson also spent time as an infantryman in World War II, contracting a case of trench foot. He recalled that his unit would dig their foxholes, then press forward and have to dig another bunch of foxholes, and on and on. It would rain on them and the foxholes would fill up with water, and the men just couldn't get away from it. His feet got so bad that he could barely walk, and he limped back to the aid station and was whisked away to the hospital immediately. It was an action that may have saved his life, as the Germans chose that time to press forward into the area where his unit was located. He spent 6 months in the hospital and had trouble with his feet forever after, though he was grateful he didn't lose his feet as many soldiers did. After the war, he returned to the States. He moved to California, spending time working at Douglas Aircraft. He once commented in an interview that many out-of-work actors and writers found employment between gigs at Douglas, and that he was amazed that their planes didn't fall out of the sky because none of those people were qualified to work there and build them. Movies had a tremendous influence on him as a writer. Watching the original Dracula, for instance, made him think, if one vampire is scary, what about an entire world full of them? Which led him to write his novel, I Am Legend. I Am Legend, incidentally, was the story George Romero credited with inspiring his movie, Night of the Living Dead, after changing the vampires into zombies. Several different versions of the story made it onto the big screen. One starred Vincent Price in The Last Man on Earth, which was as true to the novel as any of the versions got, though Matheson himself never really liked it. The Omega Man, with Charlton Heston, was the next incarnation. And more recently, it was made into the Will Smith version of I Am Legend, which made $77 million in the first weekend of its release. I guess you could call that a success, huh? After selling I Am Legend, his career wasn't going very well, so he moved back east to Long Island and worked for his brother for a time. He wrote The Shrinking Man while working for his brother, and of course we know that it got picked up at Universal Studios and adapted into The Incredible Shrinking Man. It was, Matheson later recollected, one of the very first movies where a husband and a wife weren't holding hands and walking off into the sunset for their happy ending. It ended with the man shrinking into the world of microbes and eventually, the film implies, nothingness. His first teleplay was for The Twilight Zones and When the Sky Was Opened in 1959, but that was only one of 16 episodes he wrote for that show. Perhaps his most famous episode was Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, which starred a very young William Shatner as a man who's convinced that a monster only he can see is destroying the plane on which he's flying. This story idea was born when Matheson himself was on an airplane and, looking out at the clouds, thought to himself that it looked like a skier's landscape. Of course, someone skiing across the sky wasn't very scary, but a gremlin tearing apart a plane piece by piece was. In fact, this story became so synonymous with the Twilight Zone series that it was included in the 1983 Twilight Zone the movie. Matheson's relationship with Rod Serling was good enough that he went on to write for Serling's series, The Night Gallery. Lest you think that Matheson only wrote in the horror genre, it's important to note that at the same time that he was writing for Serling, he also wrote for a Western series called The Lawman. He wrote the Enemy Within episode of the original Star Trek series. In fact, throughout his lifetime, Matheson was driven by what if, not the desire to stick to one genre, particularly horror. I hate the word horror, Matheson told fantasy editor and writer Stanley Wyeter for the 2009 video documentary Dark Dreamers. He said, "To me, the word horror is visceral. Terror hits you in the mind. You don't have to show anything to scare a lot of people." Matheson's what-if formula continued to drive him to write some of the most iconic stories of the time, many of which inspired the next generation of authors to choose to try their hand at the profession. Stephen King himself credits The Shrinking Man with his first desire to become a writer. Over his 60-year career, Matheson wrote hundreds of short stories, novels, teleplays, and screenplays, always with one question driving the next creation. What if? What if the world were populated by vampires, as in I Am Legend? What if a Zuni fetish doll came alive and attacked a woman in her apartment, as in Prey? What if a bunch of spiritualists and mediums come together to investigate life after death in a house where any number of blasphemous and perverted acts were committed, as in Hell House? What if a couple could make $200,000 if they push a button that will kill someone that they don't know? What if a killer truck goes after a man driving alone on a lonely highway? What if drove Richard Matheson to create fantastic stories about otherwise ordinary people? His writing style was such that it enticed people to think, what if, right along with him, to the point of reimagining his stories not once but many times. His visions of the future, his ability to take the ordinary and make it extraordinary, his way of turning a phrase so that it stuck in the reader's mind and chilled the blood, all contributed to his legend and his legacy. References to his stories crop up in conversation as much, if not more, than our much-loved pop culture references. His stories continue to enrich our lives, even now, and they never, ever seem to go out of date. From my darkened parlor, I wish you many thoughts of what if and bloody kisses.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.